The subject of eternal damnation in hell has never been a popular topic. Even among Bible readers, this subject is not one of those favorite Bible topics. And it's easy to see why. This Bible doctrine tends to make many people uncomfortable. It causes people to take life more seriously than they would like to. The very thought of the possibility of going to a place like hell tends to cause many people to dread the future. And for people who are lost in sin, that is exactly how they should feel about it. So it's no surprise then that people today, even many religious people, try to deny the doctrine of eternal damnation in hellfire. Now today, in this lesson, we're going to look at some ways by which men reject this teaching. In the previous lesson, we saw that the Bible is absolutely clear that there is a hell. As surely as there is a heaven, there is a place called hell. In Matthew 25, verse 41, Jesus said that the lost will go into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. In Matthew 25, verse 46, Jesus said that the lost will go away into everlasting punishment. In Mark chapter 9, verses 43 through 48, Jesus said that the lost will go into a place where the fire is never quenched, where their worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible says that those who know not God and obey not the gospel will be punished with everlasting destruction. And in Matthew 5, verse 22, Jesus referred to this place as hell fire. But no matter how plain the Bible is on any topic, some people will deny it. And that's the case with this Bible teaching. We're going to look at some ways then that people have of trying to say that there is no hell. And the first one is just to say, as some people do, that there is no hereafter at all. There are some who don't believe in life after death. They don't believe in heaven, and they don't believe in hell. They don't believe in any kind of afterlife. Now, there were people in the New Testament that believed like this. The Sadducees, a group of Jews of all people, believed that there was no hereafter. They did not believe that you have an eternal spirit. They did not believe in angels, and they did not believe in heaven and hell. They did not believe in life beyond the grave. There were philosophers in Athens in Acts 17 who laughed at Paul when he talked about the resurrection of the dead. To them, it was impossible to live after death. But as surely as God exists, man has a soul, and there is a hereafter, there is a heaven and a hell. Now you might say, well, how do you reason with somebody that doesn't believe in the hereafter? Well, you're going to have to start with the simple question, do you believe in God? Now, if that person believes in God, but says that there's no hereafter, that's a very rare thing. And you can reason at least with that person from the standpoint that if there is a God, and God says that there is a heaven, that same God says that there is a hell, and says that you have a soul within you that survives death. But if a person simply says, well, I don't believe in the hereafter because I don't believe in God to begin with, then you might be able to take that person to nature itself and point that person to the creation, because nature itself plainly shows that God exists. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork, Psalm 19, verse 1. Now, a second way that people deny the subject of hell is the belief known as universalism. This is the doctrine of universal salvation. The idea, the teaching, that everybody will be saved. Universalists don't believe that anybody will be lost. They do not believe in hell. They do not believe in damnation of any kind, much less eternal damnation in hell. Now, some of these universalists say that this universal salvation, where everybody goes to heaven, will be immediate when a person dies. In other words, they believe that when any person dies, that individual goes straight to heaven, period. There are others that say that people will all eventually be saved. Now, they don't go into the details about this usually, but they have some kind of idea that after some people die, that those same people, though they die in an unsaved condition, will eventually, after this life, be brought to salvation and go to heaven. Now, of course, the Bible says nothing about that. The Bible does not teach that at all. But these universalists say that everybody is going to heaven, that there is no hell. Some of them, some universalists, even say that the devil himself and his angels will be saved eventually. They have some kind of theory about this that says that the devil and his angels are going to be reformed. They're going to be brought to repentance somehow so that even the devil is eventually going to wind up in heaven. Now, the Bible plainly says in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Jesus not only said that some people will go to hell, he said that many people will go to hell, that is, to a place of destruction. So the Bible denies universal salvation. That is nowhere taught in the Scriptures. Now, a third view that's very similar to the idea of universal salvation, and in some ways overlaps with it, is the idea of a second chance. There are people that deny hell because they say that when you die, you're going to receive a second chance. Now, some of these people believe in the idea of purgatory. This is the belief, the doctrine, that some people die in a lost condition, and they go to a place of punishment for a while. They go to a place of temporary punishment known as purgatory. Now, there are others that take a little bit different view of the idea of a second chance in that they say that though a person dies lost, when he gets to the judgment, God may change his mind about what he said about the terms of salvation in the New Testament. In other words, here's what they're saying. They believe that the Bible teaches how to be saved, and if a man does not obey what the Bible says about being saved, then the Bible declares him lost. Now, they believe that that person dies in disobedience to God, and as far as the Bible is concerned, that person is lost. But they believe that when that person gets to the judgment, even though God has plainly said in the Bible that that person is going to hell, they believe that God might just change his mind about what he said at the judgment and say, well, that's all right, you come ahead and go to heaven with the rest of them. So in a way, that's kind of a second chance. That's at least a second offer of pardon or grace extended to that individual. Now, of course, the whole problem with the idea of God changing his mind about something that he has plainly said is going to take place in the Word of God, the Bible, is that God's Word is true. God means what he says. And if a person says that God just might change his mind about people in the Bible that he declared as being lost, then what is to keep God at the judgment from changing his mind about what he said concerning the saved people? If God says to people, now, if you die in this condition, you're going to hell, and that's plainly in the Bible, but those people get to the judgment, and God says, well, I know that I said that you're going to hell if you don't believe in Christ, but I'm going to let you in anyway. If God is that kind of God to change his mind on what he said in the Bible about the lost, then what would keep God from changing his mind about what he said about the saved? What would keep God from saying to a saved person at the judgment, well, now I know that I said that if you obeyed the gospel and you were faithful to me until death, that you would receive a crown of life, but I've changed my mind about what I said. Well, the bottom line is that God is true, and God's word is true, and God means what he says. Now, besides this, when a person says, well, I think man might get a second chance, I believe God might give us another chance. Well, if God is the kind of God to give man a second chance, what if some reject him after the second chance? Is God going to give a third chance, or a fourth chance, or a fifth, or a tenth, or 100 chances? You see, God gives us the opportunity that we need right now to choose between God and the devil, to choose between heaven and hell, and that is the opportunity that we have before us. And when you think about people saying that they don't believe in eternal punishment in hell because they believe in some kind of second chance theory, do you remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31? Well, it sure wasn't the case with this rich man that he got a second chance. There was no offer of a second chance. There was no way to change his situation, according to what the Bible says in that passage. Now, the fourth idea that people present as a reason for rejecting eternal damnation in hell is known as the theory of annihilation. Now, this is literally the idea that a person's soul will be annihilated. The belief that the wicked will cease to exist after death. Now, there are at least two different versions of this. Some believe that the lost cease to exist at the moment that they die, that any lost person just ceases to exist when they die. A lot of these people don't believe that you have a soul, period. They believe that the only life that you have is your physical life. They don't believe that you have a soul that survives the grave. Now, there are religious people who actually believe that. Then there are other religious people who hold to a version of annihilation that goes like this. They believe that the lost die. Then those lost souls go to a place of punishment for a while. And then after they are punished for a while, they cease to exist. Now, that's different from the idea of purgatory. The idea of purgatory says that there are people who die in sin, they die in a lost condition, and then they go to this place, this temporary place of punishment called purgatory. But after they spend some time in purgatory, then they go to heaven. But the annihilation view says that people die in sin, they die in a lost condition, then they go to a place of punishment for a time, and then they just cease to exist. God really just destroys their soul. God annihilates their spirit, and they don't exist any longer, period. Now again, the Bible plainly denies the idea that we cease to exist ever. In Luke 16, 19 through 31, you don't get any idea that Lazarus and the rich man and Abraham and all these other souls would ever cease to be, that God was going to annihilate or did annihilate anyone. In Mark chapter 9, 43 through 48, the passage that we've already referred to says that their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And in Matthew 25, verse 46, the Bible plainly says that these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So there are some people that say they don't believe in hell because they say there's no hereafter. There are other people that say that there's no hell because they believe everybody is going to be saved. They believe in universalism or universal salvation. There are others that really don't believe in eternal damnation in hell because they say that men will be given a second chance. And there are others that deny the doctrine of eternal damnation in hell because they believe in annihilation, that is, in the annihilation of wicked souls after this life. But in spite of these theories of men that are designed to give false hope and false comfort to men, remember the words of Jesus in Matthew 24, verse 35, where he said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away," because those words include the doctrine of eternal damnation in hell.